Chapter 22 Gopi Vastraharana Leela. Krishna Gopiyan Vastraharana Leela. Krishna steals the garments of the Brajakanyas, the unmarried gopis. During the month of Margashirsha, November and December, which Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that he is that month, Margashirsha Aham. Among all the 12 months of the year, my special vibhuti, or I'm especially represented by November and December. Every day in month of Margashirsha, early in the morning before sunrise, the Brajakanyas, the young unmarried daughters of the cowherds, would hold each other's hands and sing of Krishna's transcendental qualities as they skipped along to the Yamuna to bathe before sunrise. They had a sankalp, intense desire to attain Krishna as their husband. They worshipped goddess Katyayani with incense, flowers, and other items. One day, on Purnima, at the end of their vrat, the young gopis left their garments on the shore as usual and began playing in the water while chanting about Krishna's leelas. Suddenly, Krishna himself came there, stole their clothes, and climbed a kadamba tree. Teasing the gopis, Krishna said, "I understand how tired and fatigued you gopis are from your 1 month of austerities. So please come on to the shore and take back your clothes." The gopis pretended to become angry and said that the cold water of the Yamuna was giving them great pain. And if Krishna did not return their clothes, they would tell King Kamsa of everything he did. But if he did give their clothes back, they would willingly carry out his orders in the mood of humble servants. Krishna replied that he had no fear of King Kamsa, and if the gopis really wanted to follow his orders and be his maidservants, then his order was that they should come out of the water and take their clothes from him directly. The girls, trembling from the cold water, climbed out of the Yamuna and covered their private parts with their two hands. Krishna felt great affection for the gopis and spoke again. "Actually, gopis, while executing your vow of 1 month early morning bath in Yamuna, you going naked, you made an offense to the demigods. So to counteract this as atonement, you have to fold your hands and hold your joined palms above your head. Then your Katyayani Vrat will achieve its full result. Otherwise, you won't get the result." Following Krishna's instruction, the gopis folded their hands and respect, offered obeisances to Sri Krishna. Satisfied, Krishna gave back their clothing, but they became so attracted to Krishna they couldn't move a step from him. Understanding their minds, Krishna said he knew they worshipped Katyayani to have him as their husband. And because they offered their hearts to him, their desires would never again become tainted by the mood of materialistic enjoyment. Just as fried seeds of grains never can grow into shoots. Next autumn, Krishna said, their cherished desire to have Krishna as their husband would be fulfilled. The gopis, fully satisfied, returned to Braj, and Krishna and his coward friends went off to a distant place to graze the cows. The gopis, during this month, they ate havishan, which was simply boiling together mung dal and rice without any spices or turmeric. Vishwanath has very extensive commentaries on chapter 22. Krishna steals the garments of the unmarried gopis. After describing the purva rag of the married gopis, such as Radhika, toward Krishna, in the autumn season, which is revealed in the Venugita preceding this chapter 21, Venugita reveals the love before meeting, the purvarag of the married gopis like Radhika and the other sakhis, and autumn season. Then there's a description of the purvarag of the unmarried Nityasthira gopis, such as Danya and other gopis, in connection with Hemanta. Purvarag is intense loving attachment before meeting the beloved. Although in fact, the gopis' loving affection for Krishna as an intimate associate was already established, still the Kanyakumaris, following the ways of ordinary society, performed worship of Katyayani Devi to attain Krishna as her husband. The distinction between these Kumari Brajagopis, Brajakumarikas, performing the Margashirsha Brat, and like those of Radha, is made in Harivamsa, Vishnu Puran, and Brahma Puran, with such verses. The young, unmarried gopis gathered together while it was still dark. Yuvatir Gopakanyascha Ratro Sankalya Kalavit. The gopis prayed to goddess Katyayani. Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogin Yadishvari Nandagopasutam Devi Patim Me Kurute Namaha Iti Mantram Chapantyasta Pujam Chakru Kumarika. The gopis prayed, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, O Katyayani, please make the son of Nanda Maharaj my husband. But Katyayani Devi may object. When you say, please do it, what does that have to do with me? You, my dear Kanyas, should be allowed to do whatever you wish in this matter. I, on the other hand, shall simply inspire your parents to do the needful in this matter. Therefore, you should rather use the words, please cause someone to do it, or please give this. Anticipating this objection, the gopis say in anxiety, Mahayogini, O great yogi Katyayani, my connection with Krishna should be immediately arranged by you, without the unnecessary disturbance of my parents. I am too anxious for this and cannot wait. Besides, Krishna has not taken brahminical initiation, and therefore he is not qualified yet to be married. Therefore, God has overlooked the proper rituals of marriage, and in the Gandharva style, let us marry Krishna immediately. Because Gandharva marriage is a love marriage by personal agreement without parental sanction. But when the gopis say this, Katyayani may object. You're thinking of Krishna as your husband and are anxious to have intimate connection with him, even without your parents knowing? Oh, how can I possibly fulfill this desire of yours? Anticipating this, the gopis reply, O Adishwari, Katyayani Mahamayi Mahayogin Yadishwari. You have all powers, therefore you're the Adi Ishwari, the original supreme controller. Nothing is impossible for you. You are Mahamaya, the supreme enchantress. Therefore, by the power of illusion, you should bewilder my parents so they will not know of my marriage and the secret of my intimate association with Krishna. Mahayoginidishri Nandagopasatam Devi. The word Devi means, O goddess, but actually it's connected to the word divyati, which means to play, and taking Devi to refer to Krishna, who plays and causes one to play, divyati. Therefore, the gopis are saying, Devi means Krishna is indeed the husband, so Katyayani, please make him so. Such a status of being a husband can be affected without marriage, and thus there is no harm, even if I am married to some other coward man. In this way, each of the gopis separately meditates on the meaning of the mantra to petition Goddess Katyayani. In Ananda Vrindavan Champu, the gopis pray, O worshipable Devi, please accept this foot wash and cool off our burning breasts with the water from Krishna's feet. We worship you with this argya, so please give us the association of Krishna, who is Maha Arga, most worshipable. The goddess Durga, mentioned in this verse, Katyayani Mahamayi, is not the illusory energy of Krishna called Mahamaya, although the verse says Mahamaya, but rather Krishna's internal spiritual potency, Chit Shakti, called Yogamaya. The distinction between the internal and external potency of Krishna is described in the Narada Pancharatra in a conversation between Shruti and Vidya. Mahavishnu's inferior potency, known as Durga, is dedicated to his loving service. Being the Lord's potency, this inferior energy is not different from Krishna, Mahavishnu Sarupini. There is another superior potency whose form is on the same spiritual level as that of God himself. Simply by scientifically understanding the supreme potency, one can immediately achieve the supreme soul of all souls, Lord of all lords. There's no other process to achieve him. That supreme potency of the Lord is known as Gokuleshwari, the goddess of Gokul. Her nature is to be completely absorbed in love of God, Prema Sarvasva. And through her, one can easily obtain the primal God, Lord of all that be. This internal potency of the Lord has a covering potency, Avarika Shakti, known as Mahamaya, who rules the material world. In fact, she bewilders the entire universe and everyone within the universe. As a result, falsely identifies himself with the material body. Thus, we can understand that the internal and external potencies of the Supreme Lord Krishna are personified as Yogamaya and Mahamaya, respectively. The name Durga refers to the internal superior potency stated in the Pancharatra. In all mantras used to worship Krishna, the presiding deity of those Krishna mantras is Durga. Thus, in the transcendental sound vibrations glorifying and worshipping the Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, the presiding deity of the particular mantra or hymn is called Durga. To confuse the Yogamaya Durga with the Mahamaya Durga is a mistake. Furthermore, although the pastimes of Braj are on the pure transcendental platform, Shuddha Sattva, they somewhat resemble material pastimes in appearance. Therefore, there is no fault in the gopis' worship of Durga or Mahamaya. Independent thinkers who think that the names of Durga and Mahamaya refer exclusively to the external potency of the Lord, such personalities, they have no chance of getting even a breeze, a touch of the breeze, carrying the scent of prema. This is from Vaishnav Toshni of Sanatana Goswami. The dialogue between Krishna and the gopis. Krishna said, my dear gopis, if you are merciful to me, I will come down from this tree, Kadamba tree, and join you in the water to observe your vow of fasting. Jalavasa Vatra. The gopis were completely captivated by Krishna's joking words, but out of shyness, they again submerged themselves in the Yamuna up to their necks. Trembling from the cold and also from their anxiety, joy and eagerness, the gopis address Krishna as follows. O Krishna, Don't be unfair. We know that you are the respectable son, or the dear son of Nanda, Gopasutam Priyam. And you're honored by everyone in Braj. You're also very dear to us. Please give us back our clothes. We are shivering in the cold Yamuna water. Vishwanath. In this verse, the gopis try to satisfy Krishna by using diplomacy, one of the principles known as sama, pacification. The gopis said, Krishna, you are born in a cultured family, so you should not do unworthy activities. Krishna, it is obvious that you do not respect me, for you are not afraid of calling me bad names. Anarya. We do not know any other places of Braj, but we know you, the son of King Nanda. The word Gopa means king and also cowherd man. Furthermore, you are praised and loved by all the Brijvasis. Krishna, O foolish women, if I am a king's son, then what wrong can I do? If you say the king's son should not do any wrong actions, then say if I am doing wrong. How can I be praised and loved by everyone if I am doing wrong? It is not possible to praise or love a wrongdoer, gopis. True, we simple women are ignorant of how to speak. Please forgive us, therefore, and give us our clothing. We are shivering with cold. With these words, the Brajakumaris invoke Krishna's mercy. Shama sundara te dasya karavama tavoditam dehi vasamsi dharmagya no chedragye pruvamihe. And Gopi said, O Shama Sundara, we are your maidservants and must do whatever you say. But give us back our clothing. You know what the religious principles are. And if you don't give us our clothes, we'll have to tell the king. Please, Vishwanath Chakravartipad. In this verse, the gopis continue their attempts to pacify Sama Krishna. Taking the word sham as a different meaning, the gopi said, we, being your maidservants, will carry out your word. The implication is that it is only fitting for us to have an attitude of service to you, who are the king. Moreover, because you are very beautiful, Sundara, we have become your servants. And thus, under the guise of being servants, we will offer our very selves to you. Then the gopis employ the diplomatic principle known as bade, the process of dividing. By using rough language to weaken Krishna, the gopis said, O Dharmagya, knower of religious principles, if you steal the wealth of chastity from women like us, and see them naked, then you will be acting irreligiously. Seeing that it was futile to instill fear of irreligion in Krishna, the gopis resorted to threats to instill fear. If you don't give us our clothing, we will complain to King Nanda or Kamsa. the Supreme Personality of God had said. If you girls are actually my maidservants, and if you will really do what I say, then come here to the base of this Kadamba tree with your innocent smiles and let each girl pick out her clothes. If you don't do what I say, I won't give them back to you. And even if the king becomes angry, what can he do? After being defeated by their own words, the gopis stood speechless, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad. Then Krishna spoke, "We will now test the truthfulness of your words. If you are really my servants, then you will do whatever I say. Please come forward with a smile and take your clothes. If you are not true to your words and then fail in this test of Dharma, I will not return your clothes." The phrase Shuchi Smita in the verse 16 means a smile, Smita, expressing conjugal love, Shuchi. Thus the gopis revealed their true inner feelings toward Krishna with their smiles full of conjugal affection. Krishna said, "As I am stronger, you should use Sama instead of Beda. If you make the king angry, what can you accomplish?" Then, text 17, shivering from the painful cold, all the young gopis rose out of the water, covering their pubic area with their hands. The gopis talked among themselves, "O Sakis, we have been defeated by our own words. Now if we delay any longer, some other man may come along, and we will be sunk in an ocean of shame. Our desire to touch Krishna's body has become even stronger. It cannot be put to death, even by drowning in the waters of the Yamuna. It seems this is our fate written on our foreheads, and we could do nothing to change it. Therefore, yielding to his demands, we must put aside our embarrassment, send our obstinacy to hell, and close our eyes. In that darkness, we will cover our bodies and rise up from the water." Thus assuring each other that there was no alternative, the gopis rose out of the water to meet Krishna. When the Supreme Lord saw how the gopis were struck with embarrassment, he was satisfied by their pure loving affection. Putting their clothes on his shoulder, the Lord smiled and spoke to them with affection. Krishna became very satisfied, prasadita, to see the pure unalloyed love, shuddha bhava, of the Braja Gopis, who on his order had given up all shyness, which was worse than death for those respectable girls. Krishna put the gopis' clothing on his shoulder out of greed to smell the fragrance of their bodies lingering on their clothes. By doing this, Krishna showed his love for the gopis, because verse 18 mentions that. Krishna thought, "Out of love for me, these gopis have done something which is very difficult for any woman. But there remains something even more difficult, and I wonder if they can do it. Now let me test the power of their love." Krishna then smiled affectionately and with great boldness advised the gopis, "O gopis, you said that you are my servants and that you will follow my words. Now I am going to test you. If you come out of the water and stand before me, I will give you your clothing, along with my body, mind, and soul. 19. Krishna said, you girls bathe naked while executing your vow, Katyayani Vrat, and that is certainly an offense against the demigods. To counteract your sin, you should offer obeisances while placing your joined palms above your heads. Then you should take back your lower garments, Vishnu says. Oh, you have made a great offense. By bathing in the water, you have definitely offended Varuna Dev, the god of the waters, or Narayan. The phrase in the verse is Deva Helanam, which means an offense to a Deva. The gopis replied, this is a local custom. Therefore, being very young girls, they're actually only 6 years old, we have made no offense, Krishna said. For those performing vows, bathing naked is certainly an offense to the Lord. Considering that the fruits of their Katyayani Vrat had become nullified, the gopis became afraid and said, oh, we have made such an offense, and now we will not get any results of our Vrat. Since we have failed and have become completely mortified, we should give up our lives. Seeing that the gopis had performed such severe activities, that their bodies were pale, fatigued and shivering, Krishna thought, oh, I should be compassionate and prescribe some atonement so that they do not give up their lives. Therefore, Krishna said, O slender, wasted gopis, don't be afraid. The Shastras proclaim that all women are servants of Narayan. Gargamuni has said that I am similar to Narayan in qualities. Therefore, I am now your Narayan. To nullify your offense to Narayan, me, you should face me and offer respects to me. Then you can take back your undergarments. Since I have no business with the undergarments, because the verse has the phrase, ado vasanam, and Vishnu takes it to mean antariya, antariya vastram, which means internal clothing, vastra, undergarments. I am going to keep your upper garments and use myself as a shawl. So here Vishnu is taking the word from the verse Deva Helanam, which means offense to the Devas. Externally, you can say it means an offense to Narayan, Lord Narayan, Vishnu, that Dev or God, or Dev, the god or lord of the water, Yamuna, the god of the waters, is Varuna, a demigod. So he said, you made an offense, you should fold your hands and raise above the head. And then Vishnu says that Krishna is using the word Deva, that I am Deva, I am Narayan, as Gargamuni said, and you made an offense to me, and you should do this to counteract your offense to me. Stand before me with, in other words, remove your hands from your pubic area and raise your arms above your head with folded hands, and thus you can counteract your offense to Narayan. And then I can, of course, see you. But here you can take back your underwear. Ado Vasanam, which Vishnu takes to mean Antariya Vastram. When the gopis simply lowered their heads as an obeisance, Krishna said, oh no, now offering respects with just the head is inferior. When Krishna saw them then raising one hand above their head, and keeping one hand to cover their pubic area, he again objected, this is also an inferior way of showing respect. Thus, Krishna made the gopis hold both hands together in prayer above their heads. Oh no, like that. When Krishna saw them folding their hands, but keeping them below their waist, to cover their private parts, he said, offer obeisances with your palms joined above your head. So even though Krishna initially said, fold your palms, as in a prayer mudra, and raise your arms above your head, the gopis finally simply folded their hands in prayer, but used them to cover their private parts. And still Krishna said, no, that's not correct. Achyuta bihitam brajabala. The young girls considered what Lord Achyuta had told them, and they accepted that they had suffered a fall down from their vow by bathing naked in the river. But they still desired to successfully complete their vow, and since Lord Krishna himself is the ultimate result of all pious activities, they offer their obeisances to him to cleanse away all their sins. Vishnu Chakravartipad. The gopis thought that the results of their brat should not be lost, even if they had to sacrifice their modesty. Therefore, they decided to simply surrender to Krishna. This is explained in this verse. When Krishna had pointed out that bathing naked was an offense, the gopis decided that their vow had become useless. Desiring to attain the result of their brat, they offered respects to Krishna, who bestows the results of all actions. What to speak of this brat? The gopi said. If we satisfy Krishna, who is the sum total of all results, then what else remains to be gained? Someone may argue with the gopis, saying, you may gain the results, but what about the sin incurred of appearing naked? This verse answers the question by saying, avadya brig, Krishna is the purifier of all sins. Thus, there can be no fault for those who obtain the mercy of the Lord. Seeing them bow down like that, Sri Krishna, Devakinandan, gave the gopis back their garments, feeling compassionate toward them and satisfied by their act. Vishnu. Krishna then gave back all their garments rather than just their underwear, because he was pleased that they had done as he wished. Although the gopis had been thoroughly cheated, deprived of their modesty, ridiculed and made to act just like toy dolls, and although their clothing had been stolen, they did not feel at all inimical towards Sri Krishna. Rather, they were simply joyful to have this opportunity to associate with their beloved, Vishnu Chakravarti. Even though the gopis were treated contemptuously by Shyam, they still acted favorably toward their beloved by doing what would have been impossible for others to do. And astonishingly, the gopis became blissful by this. The gopis had been deceived to the extreme by Krishna's words, criticizing their nakedness. After forcing the gopis to give up their modesty, Krishna mocked them, insisting that they come get their clothing. He made the Brajakumaris dance like puppets, Kridanavat. When Krishna said, I am telling the truth, this is not a joke, the gopis did not find fault in Krishna, nor did they criticize Krishna when he told them that their folded hands above their heads as atonement. Though all this was done to them, the gopis felt blissful because they got to meet their beloved Priya. They actually became even more attached to Krishna for doing all these things. The conclusion is that when one is considered dear, Priya, whatever that dear one does is experienced with pleasure, even if it gives pain. This is Vishnu's commentaries on a phrase in verse 22. Priya Sangha Nivrita. That the word Priya means that they were Priya Sangama, an opportunity to meet their beloved. They're Krishna Priya, they're very dear to Krishna, and Krishna is their Priya, the gopis' dear one, the Braja Kumaris. So certainly Krishna is their dearest one. So Vishnu concludes that when someone like Krishna is considered dear to one like the gopis, then whatever the dear one does is experienced with pleasure, even if it gives pain. The gopis were addicted to associating with their beloved Krishna. Preshta Sangama Sanjita. Thus they became captivated by Krishna. Thus, even after putting their clothes on, they did not move. They simply remained where they were, shyly glancing at Shyam, Vishnu Chakravartipad. Just as Krishna had stolen their clothes, he had also stolen their minds and their love. This verse describes the gopis are the reservoir of prem. The gopis interpreted the whole incident as proof that Krishna was also attached to them. Otherwise, why would Krishna have gone to the trouble of playing with them in this way? Krishna had overcome their shyness and forced them to come out of the water naked. But now, having dressed properly, they again became shy in his presence. In fact, this incident increased their humbleness before Krishna. They did not want Krishna to see them staring at him, but they cautiously took the opportunity to glance at the Lord. There is the suggestion that the bashfulness of the gopis pervaded their bodies more than even previously. The Supreme Lord understood the determination of the gopis in executing their strict vow. Krishna also knew that the girls desired to touch his lotus feet. Thus, Lord Damodar Krishna spoke to them as follows. The word Damodar is in the verse. Vishnu Chakravartipad. The gopis could have said here, O Krishna, O topmost enjoyer, loving exchanges. Bhagavan Supadasparsha Kamyaya. We have now obtained the fruit of our vow because you have created this extraordinary fraud. By that you have driven the very life air out of our bodies. Then again, by your mercy we have become fully satisfied. By making us come out of the water, you have used various clever devices to insult us in every way. And then, after draping our garments over your wonderful shoulders, you gave them back to us, along with the jewel of your own heart, as expressed in your words. In response to this, we can only give you our shy glances. Therefore, because we are simply foolish girls, we cannot discern whether this pleases or offends you. Since you know perfectly well the difference of time, place, and person, you should please speak whatever you desire to say. We. Will immediately go home upon hearing that, desiring to answer them, the Supreme Omniscient Lord, Bhagavan, then spoke in three verses. Sankalpo vidita sadbhyo bhavati nam madarchanam mayanumodita so satyo bhavitum arhati. O sadvi, saintly girls, I understand that your real motive, sankalpa vidita, in this austerity has been to worship me, madarchanam. That intent of yours is approved by me, and indeed it must come to pass, satyo bhavitam arhati. Vishnu Chagavati Thakur. Krishna said, O chaste women, sadvi, though out of modesty you have not mentioned that your real purpose, sankalp, in worshipping me was to please me, I know and I accept it. Because your desire was pure, it will be fulfilled. Since I am controlled by prema, nothing is impossible for my premi bhaktas to attain. So here, Vishnu is saying that Krishna is well aware that they were worshipping Katyayani, not really to please Katyayani and get her blessings, but their sankalpa was to worship Krishna, to love him and to serve him with pure love. And Krishna's understanding and saying that here. At this point, the Kripa Shakti, mercy potency, made the Lord's power more evident among the gopis. Though the power was still under the control of prema and subject to the pastimes. By this power, Krishna understood the gopis were performing austerities in the worship of Katyayani to attain him, and thus he gave them the results. Gargamuni had said that Krishna was similar to Narayan, but now the gopis thought of Krishna as Narayan. Namaya veshita diham kamakamaya kalpate bhajita kotita danaha prayobijaya neshate. Krishna said, O gopis, the desire of those who fix their minds on me, maya veshita diham, does not lead to material desire for sense gratification, just as barley corns burned by the sun and then cooked can no longer grow into new sprouts. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Krishna said, if someone worships me impurely or improperly, I can make that offering pure because I am full of good qualities. What then to say of your absolutely pure desire and pure love? The desire of one absorbed in me does not lead to material desire for sense enjoyment, because the object of love is the topmost spiritual entity. It results in the disappearance of material desire, just as barley corns roasted in the fire can never grow new sprouts. The word praya means, in this verse, just as. Another reading of the word neshate in the verse is neshyate.
Yata bala vrajam stidha mayema ramsyata shapa yad udisha vratam idam cheirur aryarchanam sati. Krishna said, O gopis, go now. Abalas, and return to Braj. Your desire is fulfilled. Yatabala Rajam Siddha. For in my company you will enjoy the company the coming nights. After all, this was the purpose of your vow to worship Goddess Katyayini, O pure-hearted ones. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, bearing in mind that the most auspicious time for a lover's first tryst is the night, Krishna speaks like this to the gopis. Krishna said, O women, although you are perfected beings, Siddha, this is in the verse, you have taken the role of sadhakas, practitioners, to increase the sweetness of my pastimes on earth. In the near future, Ima Shapa, you will enjoy Ramsyata with me and thus fulfill the purpose yad, for which you undertook austerities in worshipping Durga, Arya, Archanam. O pure women, Sati. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus instructed by Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the young girls, their desire now fulfilled, Labdha Kama Kumarika, could bring themselves only with great difficulty to return to the village of Braj, Krichtran, Nirvi Vishur Brajam, meditating all the while upon Shyam's lotus feet, Dayantyas Tat Padam Bhujam, Vishnath. It was very difficult, Krichtrat, for the gopis to return to Braj because Krishna had already stolen their hearts, eyes, and other senses. Some time later, Bhagavan Devaki Nandan, surrounded by his coward friends and accompanied by his elder brother Balaram, went a good distance away from Vrindavan, herding the cows. And this goes into the pastime in chapter 23, the Yajnapatnis receiving Krishna's blessings, which we've already recorded on Bhagavat Leela number 3. Shri Gopi Vastraharana Leela Ki Jai. Yashomati Nandana Rajabaranagara Gokula Ranjanakan Gokula Ranjanakan Gopi Paranadana Madana Manohara Gopi Paranadana Madana Manohara Kaliyadamanavidan Amalahari namamiya vilas Amalahari namamiya vilas Vipina purandara Navina nagara vara Vipina purandara Navina nagara vara Vamshiva dana suvas Vamshiva dahana suvas Vraja jana palana Asura kula nashana Vraja jana palana Sura Kula Nashana Nanda Godana Rakowal Nanda Godana Rakowala Govinda Madhava Navinat Navinita Taskara Govinda Madhava Navanita Taskara Sundara Nanda Gopala Sundara Nanda Gopala Yamona Tata Chara Gopi Vasanahara Yamona Tata Chara Gopi Vasanahara Gopi Vasanahara Gopi Vasanahara Yamona Tata Chara Gopi Vasanahara Rasa Rasika Kripa Moi Rasa Rasika Kripa Moi Shri Radha Vallabha Vrindavana Natavara Shri Radha Vallabha Vrindavana Natavara Bhakti Vinoda Shri Bhakti Vinoda Shri Yashamati Nandana Vrajavaranagara Ki Jai. Krishna is the beautiful, beloved son of Yashoda Maiya. He's a Vrajavaranagara. He's a great transcendental, gallant lover in Vrajabhumi, the Vrajanagara. That romantic, gallant hero, Nagar, Vrajanagar. He is Khan, an affectionate name. Gokula Ranjan, he delights all the residents of Gokul, and he's the Gopi Paranadan. He's the wealth of the Vrajagopis, and Madan Manohar. He steals everyone's hearts and defeats Kamadev. Kaliya Dhamana Vidhan, he crushed the Kaliya's serpent. Amala Harinam, Amaya Vilas, the pure names of Krishna being spoken in this bhajan are full of Amaya Vilas, the sweet pastimes of the Lord. Vipin Purandara, Krishna is the king of all the forests of Vrajabhumi. Navina Nagaravara. He is Navin, fresh, useful, ever beautiful. And he is the Nagaravara. He's the best of all the romantic heroes and gallant lovers. Vamshi Varana Suvas. Suvas. He wears very beautiful, most expert, elegant clothing. Vamshi Varan. And he, to his beautiful vadan, his face, he caresses that transcendental vamshi, vansuri. With his vansuri gan, the sweet sound of his flute, he attracts all the gopis. Brajajanapalana, he's the janapalan. He protects all the residents of Vrindavan, all the Vrijvasis, past and present. Asurakula Nashana. Nashan, Asura Nashan. Krishna kills all the demons. Bakasura, Putana, Bakasura, Agasura. All the demons that came. Shakatasura, Trinavarta. He kills them all. And all the demons that arise in our mind when we're trying to do Braja Bhajan. Nanda Godana Rakwala. Rakwala. He's a wala. He's a Rakowala. He protects the cows of Nanda Gopa and takes care of them. He has such beautiful names. He is Madhav. He is Govinda and Madhav. Govinda Madhav, Navinit Taskara. As Govinda, he gives pleasure and bliss. Govindate. He gives pleasure and bliss and satisfaction to the senses of the gopis. And the senses and minds of the cows and the senses and minds are the gopas, and he pleases the land of Vrindavan. He is Govinda, and he's Madhav, which means the husband of Lakshmi. But the Sarva Lakshmi Mayi is Radha. The topmost Lakshmi is Radha, and Madhav is the lover of that Radha, Radhika. Navanita Taskara. Navanita means butter, and he's always stealing the butter, which represents the condensed Vatsalya Prema of the Brijvasi Gopis. He does this to increase their love and attachment for him. And he's Sundara Nanda Gopal. That Gopal is Nanda Gopal. He's the Gopal of Nanda. And he's so beautiful, so attractive, sweet, charming, and enchanting. Yamuna Tattachara. On the banks of the Yamuna, he's wandering, Charachara. He's roaming there. What's he doing there? Gopi Vasana Hara. The Vasana, the clothing, the gopis. Vasana Hara. He's stealing the clothes of the young gopis. And Vasana means desire. The Vasana, the samskaras and Vasana. He steals all their desires from the gopis' minds, so they have no other desire than to surrender to him and serve him with pure love. Gopi Vasana Hara. Rasa Rasika Kripa Moai. He's the Rasa Rasik. He's the Rasa Shekhara. He's the relisher of the topmost rasas. And Kripa Moai, he's an ocean. He's simply made of compassion and mercy. He's so merciful. And he showed his mercy to the Braja Gopis because they surrendered everything when he stole their clothes. Gopi Vasanahara Rasa Rasika Kripa Moai. He stole the gopis' clothes in Mrigashirsha month when they were 6 years old. And later, when they were 7, he called them for the rasa dance for many, many nights, Saratri. Then he showed his mercy by stealing their clothes and interacting with them in sweet, confidential love. And he showed his mercy by later relishing the rasa dance with these gopis whom he stole the clothes from, Rasa Rasika. And he is Sri Radha Vallabh. He's Radha Vallabh. He's the most beloved, the Vallabha of Srimati Radharani, Sri Radha. Vrindavana Nattavara. He's the most expert dancer in Vrindavan, dancing in the hearts of every Brijvasi, making them laugh and cry and move and speak. And everyone in Vrindavan is moving because Krishna is dancing in their hearts. And dancing in their minds, and dancing day and night with the gopas and gopis. It's a dance of love. It's a dance of intimacy. It's a transcendental spiritual ras lila. And Krishna is the centermost, topmost dancer. Vrindavananatabara. Bhakati Vinoda Shri. Anyone who's relishing the pleasure of bhakti will certainly take shelter in this great Shamsundara Yashamati Nandana, Ishwaranandan, that Brajanagara, that Govinda Madhav, that Radha Vallabh, that Vamshivadan, that Navina Nagara Vara. And this Bhaktivinoda, he wants to take shelter of this Krishna for all these wonderful reasons. Because of all these wonderful qualities and sweet, all-attractive, transcendental pastimes. Yashomati Nandan Sham Sundarasika Shekhar Ki Jai.